Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
It's my great pleasure to introduce our guest speaker this morning, a gentleman by the name of Ben Gray. That name is a name that I had been hearing about actually for a number of years. Whenever there was any discussion sort of at a national level, national prayer level, or even in international conversations, Ben Gray's name was a name that would come up. And so then over the last couple of years, our paths have intersected a couple of times, and I've grown to appreciate Ben very much and his ministry, not only here in Australia, but all around the world. He's a world-renowned speaker. He's a pastor. He's an author. He's a businessman. He's also, and this is one of the reasons he's here with us for these last few days, is he's the founder and apostolic overseer of the Australian Prayer Network. But he's also a brother in Christ and our friend. And Ben, we're delighted to have you as our guest today to come and speak to us. Let's welcome Ben.
Hey, good morning. Thank you guys for inviting me to speak this morning. And I want to open up the Word of God to you. So I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to touch our hearts. He's already been touching our hearts this morning in worship. And if you've got your Bible or your devices there, not your vices, but your devices, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 10. We're going to read 9 verses. And I'm reading, this morning, I'm going to read from the NIV, the Near Infallible Version. But before I do, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for your grace and your mercy. Would you please touch our hearts? And would you change our minds? And would you bring our life more into conformity with your will? That we might step into purpose. For everyone in this building has a purpose, and I pray, Lord, that we learn how to discover that purpose beyond just the four walls of the church, but in the world in which we live. And we all said? Amen. Amen. I'm married. That's good. And I have a lovely wife called Liz, or Elizabeth, but she likes to be called Liz. I have 3 adult children, and those adult children have given me a healthy brood of around about 10 grandchildren. So I have a good footprint. I just hope they look after me in my old age. Yes, they will, I think. They're a great bunch. By the way, I don't mind people talking to me. I mean, don't ask me too many questions because otherwise I'll go off script. But, you know, response, I'm quite happy with that. So let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to do this morning in this time I have with you as we read the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I hope you love the Word of God. The Word of God. It's milk and honey. You know, as my Iranian friend says, he's sweet. Oh, Jesus, he's so sweet. He's so sweet. Luke chapter 10. This is a very powerful little bit of scripture. And out of this, I want to try and lift 4 very simple keys. Keys for breakthrough. Things that you can take home in your world and do. That's my objective this morning, is for you to take from this something that's practical. My God is practical. I've come with a bit of an engineering background as well, so it's got to make sense to me. And my God, our God, makes sense. Amen? Amen? So let's look at this. After this, the Lord appointed 72. Say 72. 72. 72 others and sent them out 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest. So pray for people to go out in the harvest. Now, this word send out in the Greek is ekbelo. Ekbelo. It means a passionate, powerful, thrusting, responsive prayer. It's not just your amen, just simple prayer. It is really got something about praying with passion, praying with revelation of what God wants you to pray for so that you get the right response. That's what it means. It's a thrusting prayer. What sort of prayer is it? A thrusting prayer. So it's not just a simple prayer. It's a thrusting prayer. In verse 3, go. Say go. Go, go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. Now, what he really means there in the sense that stay focused. Stay focused, stay on message. Don't become, don't deviate off course. Stay focused on what you're doing as I'm sending you out. And verse 5, when you enter a house, say peace. Would you do that? Say peace. 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 Peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. I love Jesus. He's into parties, food. Every story's got food in it in the New Testament. How good is that? If there was a coffee machine there, I'm sure he would have had a latte or a flat white. Come on. I hope you read the New Testament with a natural, supernatural eyes, because you need to. He's into parties. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Or like my mum used to say, son, if you don't eat all those greens and if you don't eat the carrots, you won't see in the dark. What a rubbish that is. And I believed it. And I said to one day, Mum, can I have dessert? No, you've got to eat what's put in front of you, son. And I said, can I do it the other way around? Can I have a dessert first and have after it? That might entice me to eat it. Yes. Never, ever worked with her. So Jesus is saying here, eat what's set in front of you. Heal the sick. Say, heal the sick. That means you've got to impart something of God to them. Heal the sick who are there and tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near you. Amazing. Amazing, amazing verses. So here's Jesus. Get this. He sends out these people into a dark region. It's beyond the Jordan. It's got a name called the Perean ministry of Jesus. He had the Galilean ministry, had the Samarian ministry, had the Judean ministry, had this last ministry beyond the Jordan, the Perean ministry. It's about 3 months before the crucifixion. So this is his swan song. He's heading to Jerusalem. That's his main goal. But he's going, this is the last. And by the way, out beyond the Jordan, it's a dark place. It's out in the east. Not that friendly. So he gets these people, these 72, and he sends them out there. And when they go out and they have to go out and do these four things, right? These four things that we've just looked at there, and they're in verses 5, verse 7, and verse 9. And when you do these four things, and what happened when they did this, Satan was thwarted. His purposes were overcome. Light overcame darkness. And he sent them out there to start something. The activity of evil was limited. People were set free. In fact, they became the salt and the leaven and the light, what he talked about. Now you may say, Pastor, how do you know all that? Well, you just go to read verse 17 and 18, because we live on this side of the cross. We get the answer as well as the instructions. Isn't that good? You like me, you go to the back of the book to find what the answer is? Come on. I do. When I pick up a book and I read in the back, my wife said, what are you doing reading in the back of the book? I said, oh, I just want to find out what the story is all about. We are very lucky this morning, very fortunate, because we live on the side of the cross and we know what he's asking. And if you go to verse 17 and 18, you will look at this whole thing. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So they saw the whole thing of the enemy's strategy just falling over people's lives. Amazing. This is the greatest spiritual warfare strategy in the New Testament. It's the only place where Jesus or anyone says, I saw Satan fall. When we pray, we want Satan to fall, don't we? And so here Jesus is saying, this is very important to us. And, you know, so I want to ask you this morning, who caused Satan to fall? Who brought light into darkness? Who broke through this darkness and brought light? Who did this? Peter? James? John? Huh? Who? 72, nameless, faceless. Do you sometimes feel a little bit nameless and faceless in the things of God? God took 72 ordinary men and women like you and me. Isn't that good to know, brother? On the last major campaign of his ministry, he gives him four basic, simple instructions that I'm going to expound to you this morning. And Satan fell. How good is that? Come on. And said, don't get deviated from what I'm telling you to do and just go in and find these things, a man, a woman of peace. Connect with them, fellowship with them, impart to them, give them a miracle, and then tell your story. Those four things, no namers. This is about you and I, friends. It's not, you know, it's not rocket science. The ordinary people did this. I love Jesus. He breaks it right down simply for us. So what's the principle here? Well, the principle, whoever in faith obeys these instructions will break Satan's stronghold. Isn't that good to know? Come on. You know, and Matthew 12, 28 said, if when this happens, you know that the kingdom of God has come amongst you. Wow. Now, friends, the problem is many of us get stuck in verse 2. We pray. But we don't do verse 3, which is go. And so we have to pray to get the revelation. We have to pray to get the knowledge of what to do and where to go. And it's like you pray, you get the revelation, and you go. And as you go, he only gives you enough information to go one step. Then you do it and you pray and you get the next one. As I said in the first of it, it's a bit of a, you could do a bit of a rap to this. As you know, you go, as you go, you know, go, go, no, and you know, go, go. Friends, as you pray, this ekbolo, ekbelo prayer, it is that God would even turn that prayer around on you and thrust you out. And that's what he's done here with 72 no-namers. I wonder what Peter was thinking. And John, man, why do they get this? We didn't see Satan fall in the same way. Can you imagine that? When they came back, had a bit of a talk to Jesus. But can you imagine 70 of them? Because running back, because Jesus said, I'll come after you. I'll send you out ahead of you. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is walking along. And I reckon there'd be this dirty, great, big dust storm of 70 people trying to run towards him and all talking at once. Like an Italian meal or a Greek meal. Or my household when I was growing up, when the kids around the table and they'd know who was sitting around, there'd be 15 people and we're all talking at once. And I have a visitor who'd come in and they'd go, your house is always like this? I said, yes, it's crazy. How do you understand each other? I don't know. We just navigate through it all. They were so excited. And Jesus says, I am full of joy too, because you have seen the answer to my instructions. You have done. You've been obedient to me. Isn't that good? Yep. You excited this morning about that bit of scripture? I hope you are. So, what are these principles? Oh, by the way, let me just say this to you as before I go any further. You and I have the wonderful privilege, if you know Jesus Christ, to have what I call redemptive grace. But we're all made in the image of God, aren't we? The non-Christians out there that right now are made in the image of God. But they are, there's pieces of God's image in them. It's sin-stained, marred and twisted, but it's still there. You and I have had that the wonderful blood of Christ washed our sin, and he's putting those pieces back together again, making us whole, right? And so we got a greater capacity of the kingdom of God within us. And so I want you to understand this morning that the kingdom of God is advancing. And the Bible says in Matthew 11, 12, that the kingdom of God has been advancing ever since the days of John the Baptist. So if the kingdom of God is advancing and it's been advancing since the days of John the Baptist, that means it is actually doing something, correct? If you go to Matthew chapter 13, I think it is 13, it's often you see it in the New Testament, in the kingdom of God is like. That means, is like means it's active and it's working now. So you and I could sit on our hands like this for the rest of our life, and I'm telling you, you wouldn't affect the kingdom of God in the sense it's got a journey, it's moving, and it actually needs us to step in and be part of it. So, in that particular verse in Matthew, it says that righteous men and women in courage, step in and grab hold of the kingdom of God. Come on, kingdom of God, come towards me. And so, boom. Now that's a harder one than the first one this morning. I got a real good hold of the kingdom of God here. And we wrestle this kingdom, and we need to wrestle that kingdom in our ordinary life. You with me this morning? And the kingdom of God is active and it's working. It's, as a pastor, many people used to come to me, I've been saved, you know, I get saved, and after they listen to the story, and they say, I think Jesus has been on my case for a long time. I said, why? I said, well, I think he's been knocking on my door. Friend, Jesus is knocking on the door out there in people's lives, and they don't know him yet. Because they've got still the image of God, broken, sin, stained, marred, and twisted in them. And the kingdom is at work in them. So how do we find it? Jesus said, that's easy. Just go. Verse 5, when you enter a house or when you find yourself in the company of people, find out whether your peace, what you carry, gets responded to positively or negatively. If it's positively, then you need to do something about it. If it's negative, Jesus said, what do you do? Move on. So in the first point, point one of my keys is that we need to find in our life men and women of peace. And as we do, we need to connect with or embrace the kingdom of God that's already at work in their life. Now, let me give you a little story. And what happens when we do this, we find these men and women of peace and we begin to embrace it. We, with spiritual discernment and understanding, we become the channel of blessing to them. We begin to change the atmosphere around them. Light breaks into the darkness around them. The conversation begins to change. And sometimes you have to listen to some horrible conversation to get to the purity of a good conversation. That's their language, so don't ban them for the language. They'll clean it up on the way. So to me, I said to God, listen, if this is true, and I think it is, and you're God anyway, you with me? I went, I need to see this. I need to understand this. So many years ago, he knew I love coffees and he knew I love restaurants because he's Jesus and he loves those places as well. So what I would do is that I would say, I'd go and park myself in a restaurant, in a coffee club. Long story short, I have many stories like this, but this is a good one because it illustrates my point. This man owned this restaurant coffee club and it was, let's call him Bill. And so as I got to go in there and meet him, I saw that Bill really didn't have a very good mouth. And he also hated the church and he didn't like Christians. So I was on really good turf. And then in the midst of it, I would start to get a relationship with all his staff. And his staff would say to me, oh, Bill, he employs these people. He's just a soft touch. He's not like he thinks, like he projects himself. He just like, he's got this ability just to see a good story in a person. He gives them the go and he's just got this, he's just too merciful for. Oh, the Holy Spirit said, that's your key. You need to lasso that mercy in him. So what I did all my conversations around his compassion and mercy and the demonstrations of that with his staff. That changed my conversation with him like that. Amazing. Why didn't I think of that? I didn't learn that in theological college. Jesus said, if you pray, I'll give you the way. Are you willing to take a risk? I don't want to preach stuff that doesn't work. I don't want to live a life that people can't follow. And I don't want to talk to people that's over their heads. So I needed to make sure that this is still true today. So I did. And can I say, what happened in that is a good story because it leads to my next point, number two, verse 7 and 8, we need to have fellowship. Say fellowship. That koinonia that you're going to do, or koinonia if you call it. Actually, the Greek pronunciation is koinonia, but we in English call it koinonia. That's a great word. It's old, but it's great. The youth guy's not here might sort of shoot me, wouldn't he? That's a good word. So it says in verse 7 and 8, have fellowship with them. Now, what it means here is that you need to find ways to connect. You've got to find ways to connect. So here's my man of peace, Bill, and I'm finding ways to connect with him. Now, I've done this many times, but I want to tell you the Bill story. So, and what I'm doing is trying to build a relationship around positive things. What's the positive thing? He's got a compassionate heart and he's merciful, but he's got lots of other bad traits. I turn my eye off the bad traits and begin to focus on the good traits. And as I do that, I begin to collaborate. Say collaborate. When you find a man of peace, what you're doing, you're embracing it. So what I began to do, I began to embrace. Found my man of peace, Bill, and I began to embrace what God was already doing in his life. He didn't know God was doing it in his life. He now knows because I've had the privilege of being able to tell him, you know where you get this compassion and mercy from? God. It's an oxymoron because people look at you and they think you're just this hard-nosed business guy, but you've got this great soft heart. Where do you think you got that from? Now, he takes it from me, but back then I couldn't actually have that conversation right up front. It took a while, it took a journey. So as I began to unpack this thing, I began to collaborate, and I began to collaborate with the kindness and the compassion. I began to touch him in practical ways. I began to see the environment around him in terms of things happening change. Now, as I sat in this restaurant, having my coffees, latte, strong, white, one sugar. I'm not giving any cues out there, but no. I've already had one. And I began to hear the story that this guy really liked fish. Now, he could go down to the fish market and buy fish. But I kept on saying to him, I'm going to Tasmania very soon because my brother was down there and he lived there and they have big fish farms down there, like salmon farms. And I said, I'll bring you back a salmon. So for about 5 or 6 weeks, I kept on telling him, I'm going to bring back a salmon. He went, okay, no worries. He never, ever thought that I'd be able, I would do that. Why would I do it? I have no relationship with him, just go and buy coffee, which he dropped from $4.50 down to $3. I thought, that's pretty neat. And so I go down, I get the fish, bring it back to Brisbane in an Esky, you know, white styrofoam box. And so I get that and I bring it back and I go through all the paperwork and I realise that Queensland government doesn't like you bringing in stuff unless you get all the vet. So I had to get all that. I drive straight to his restaurant, midday or thereabouts. I go up to Derek, or whatever his name is, he's the chef, and I put it on the counter and I say, oh, here's Bill's fish. He said, I didn't know you were in the fish business. I went, well, I'm not, but this is Bill's fish. Really? Did he order it? I said, well, no, but it's his fish. And so he gets his phone and he rings Bill and Bill must have said, who is the guy? He said, oh, you know that guy, that long, tall guy that comes in, you're always talking to, you know, that Father Reverend sort of padre boy. And we never ever talked about church things. And so I then, while he's talking, I just out. I didn't hang around. And then I didn't want to go back for a few weeks. About 3 weeks later, I go back, right? And I go back and I walk in and this guy, Bill, races up, grabs me, hugs me, never hugged me before in my life. And then he told me the story. He said, oh, last Saturday night, we had this massive party. Didn't invite me. Did you have my fish? Yeah. And he said, I did all this stuff. And he said, and then I said to him, I said, one of my friends gave that to me. Each of his around the table thought, which one was it? And then he said these words, none of you have ever done anything like this for me. What does that mean? Something special, something had happened between he and I. So I'm challenging you this morning. What's your fish in your world? I have another friend. We tried this out in another country. Praying is ekbelo prayer. All we got was a blue door. And so driving around for a while, weeks, finally found a blue door in this way out place. And the long story short, the person behind the blue door finally, after a lot of stuff, did give their heart to the Lord. And what happened after that, that particular man then went and planted 60 churches in that nation. So what's your blue door? Where's your man of peace or woman of peace in your world? What will you go to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying as you step out into your world? To me, it was most unlikely thing for me to say, the fish is going to be the bridge to this man's heart in the gospel. The blue door was going to be the way to bring a transformation to a nation of church planting pastors. Come on. Yep. You see how practical Jesus is? Yep. You still with me? Yep. Okay, number three, looking at my time. Number three, in verse 9, give a miracle, meaning you need to impart what God has given to you. It's an impartation. It is to seek an encounter of power. You say, can I give a miracle? Friend, it's up to God to give the miracle, but you've got to be the channel of blessing. You have to be the conduit. Any old drain pipe will do to let the love of God through. Any conduit will. You just have got to be that conduit of power and love as you allow a realization of the kingdom to come through you into that person's life. A quick story is that I did this once in a situation. I befriended a man. He invited me home. I was having coffee with him. He had a cold. I was I said I'd pray for him. As I began to pray for him, he got better. Then he got worse. He got better. He got worse. I knew I was dealing with a demonic presence in the sense it wasn't happening. So he walked away from me into his bedroom. He got in his bedroom. He went, listen, if you're a real God, he tells me this story after. He said, you'll speak to me. And he actually spoke, God spoke to him, his pet nickname, when he was a RAF pilot in Butterworth, Malaysia, many years before. So he came back out of that room like a dart, he told me, and then he sat down. As he sat down, he grabbed me, crash-tackled me, pulled me off the chair on the ground, and he's pounding my back, and I'm going, do you want to give your life to Jesus? Yes. Well, come out of him, Satan, and he shot across the floor. His head hit the skirting board, and here he was. I kid you not. And so I walk across on my knees with my then a little Bible, put it on his chest. As I put it on his chest went, ooh, ooh. And so I went, oh, there must be something there. So I moved it up and down his chest, and the next thing he went there, ah, out of his mouth came this horrible noise. Did that three times. And then he went, oh. Before that, his wife, with a friend of mine, had just put the children to bed. They'd walked up the And when they left, there was two sane men sitting in their lounge room. When they walked back, there was this strange man who she didn't know, me, kneeling on the floor in the alleyway or the hallway over a husband who was like non-compos mentis. He was out to it. And she walks down and she said, what's going on? I said, I think God is here. Is he alive? I said, I hope so. Then he opened his eyes and he went, oh, wow, what happened? That was marvelous. He got fully saved, took his wife 3 months to get saved. I think maybe I might have just frightened her a little bit. Maybe she was going to go across the floor. Friend, whatever it is, your blue door, whatever it is, you need to understand that the kingdom of God is out there in your world. And you need this. The kingdom of God is not something we expand and advance. It's going to advance anyway. And you and I, we need to step into it, we need to see it, we need to enter it, and we need to embrace what God's already doing in people's lives, collaborate with it in best way you can. Mine was the fish or the blue door. And then being able to then, as you do that, bring a blessing. My fourth point really comes down to, again, verse 9. And the talk says, tell them that the kingdom of God is near you. This is really about sharing Jesus. It was so easy for me to open up and say, well, the reason why this is happening is that heaven is touching earth right now in your life. I could come to it at a point and go, you know, I can reflect something of God's kingdom in me. So I tell my story. You've got a story. You can tell your story. And can I tell you, when you're at the end of the four things, not, you know, you've done the one, two, three, it's so easy to actually, they're ready to hear. My man with the fish, he's ready to hear. The man behind the blue door, he was ready to hear. The man that got healed, and he'd never had the Lord speak to him in his life before, and the Lord spoke to him before he even got saved. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. When I was a pastor, and I said this before, if I have, forgive me, that I used to hear people say, you know, the Lord's been on my track for a while, and I've just woken up to that. Friends, the Lord is out there knocking on people's doors right now in your life. People that are in your life that don't know Jesus. And Jesus actually wants you to find the man and woman of peace. And if your peace gets rejected, then forget. Don't take umbrage at it. Don't get angry. Just move on. That's what the scripture says. If your peace is rejected, doesn't rest on the person, move on. Because there is a path for where your peace can enter in, and then you can embrace what's going on. I had to look at this man. I had to think about what was going on in this man's life, Bill, and realize that the exterior was not what he really was. Deep in within him, he still had this broken piece of the image of God within him, that aspect of the kingdom of God that hasn't been dead and fully. He was a compassionate man. He probably had the gift of mercy, polluted. You understand that? People out there have gifts that are polluted. Romans chapter 12 talks about the fact that we've got them. We need to actually begin to see that that's still out there today, even we're in a world where it seems to be dark. Jesus sent these people into the darkest part of the time beyond the Jordan, 3 months at the end of his campaign. We've got a whole world in front of us, but friend, you've got your world, wherever you are, to begin to realize the truth. Now, you might be saying, oh, Pastor, that's really hard, Yakka. you know, hard going. Like, you don't know my world. Well, Jesus probably, he thought the same thing to these guys, because in verse 3 to 7, he said, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. That's what I'm telling you. You're a lamb amongst a wolf. Now, can I tell you, it's a very unnatural thing in the world for a lamb to walk up and say peace to a wolf, isn't it? But that's what Jesus asked us to do. And then it's very unnatural for a lamb to actually go in and eat with a wolf. Because what happens? Normally, wolves eat lambs. But he's saying, I'm with you and you can fellowship with them. You get what I mean? Yep. Jesus is already answering your questions that you have. Or is it going to be hard? Well, how hard is it for a lamb to have fellowship with a wolf? It is a jolly hard thing to do unless you've got God with you. And what he's saying, your peace is what is the thing that gives you entry. When you find a man and woman of peace in your life, you need to work with God in this. You with me this morning? Yeah. So as I close off here in the next moment, I want to say to you that as I travel around a fair bit, now let me stop there. I made a decision that I didn't want to become a kingdom theorist. You know what I mean by that? It's all theory, no practice. I wanted to be a man who made a decision to let my faith become the substance of things hoped for when people look at me. And so I'm asking you this morning with these four things for your breakthrough in your life, your breakthrough in this church. I say to some pastors, if you could take these four things and actually put them into something in the life of your church, you'll see amazing results. If you teach people how to do these four things in the context of their world and how they find peace and do that, amazing things will happen. And so in the context of this, you know, I didn't want to become a kingdom theorist. I wanted to make sure it works. So I actually know this works. Now, I didn't really need to test that test, you know. I mean, really, I'm just giving Jesus a bit of a score. It's 10 out of 10, really. You know what I mean? I find also when I travel around, people are looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural. Come on. They're looking for the spectacular, and when you look for the spectacular, you miss the supernatural, because the supernatural comes natural. You've got to be naturally supernatural. And that's what these 72 were. They were naturally ordinary men and women. You feel a bit ordinary sometimes? Hey guys, hey, don't we? Well, Jesus knew that. But he still gave these 72 one of the greatest commissions. One of the greatest spiritual warfare strategies of the New Testament was not given to Peter, was not given to John, was not given to James. It was given to 72 no-namers. Come on. For you, the church, for me, the church, to pick up in our day and time and go find the first point, the man of peace, say peace. Peace. To have fellowship, say fellowship. Fellowship. To connect with them, that's what it is. And three, to give them a miracle. Say, give them a miracle. That means that you will have an encounter of power, that you'll be able to impart something of God's grace into their life. And four, that you would be able to share your story. Say it. Share your story. Your story, not my story, your story. So that the realization of God comes in the midst of your ordinariness. Do you want that? So if you do want that this morning, I want to challenge you. I only want you to take this challenge in response to God, not me. But I'm up the front, I've got the microphone, so I'm going to challenge you. And I challenge you honestly before the Lord and I say, if you are a bit of a risk taker, or maybe you're not, but I still want to challenge you, if you want to take a bit of a risk this morning, to be able to, you know, say, Lord, I want to see this truth. I want to find the man and woman of peace in my life. I want to be able to see this in my world so I can connect with the kingdom of God. If you want to be that sort of person who's willing to take a risk, a bit like I did, walk down to the coffee shops, wherever God puts you, behind what, find your blue door. Every one of us has got a fish or a blue door or something in your world that you now can do and find the man and woman of peace behind or with. If you are willing to take these points this morning and in your own way, not my way, become an answer to your own prayer, and as you get revelation, you step into it, and you only do that much and you do the next bit. If you are willing to take a risk this morning, I just want you to stand, not because of me, but because you're going to stand before the Lord. Stand with me because I'd like to pray with you if you'd like to take that risk this morning. Father, I want to thank you this morning for this wonderful demonstration again of your love in the hearts of men and women in this auditorium. They are standing before you. And I want to pray this morning, Jesus, that you would visit upon each one of these people that are standing before you grace sufficient enough to discover not only the will, but the way to act out what we have listened to from your story, from the Gospel of Luke this morning. That you would give to each one of my dear brothers and sisters the ability to find the man and woman of peace. You give them the ability to embrace what's going on in that person's life, that they would be able to find their fish, their equivalent of being able to connect with them and have fellowship with them. So that in the midst of that, Lord, that you could impart your blessing through them to change life for the good in that person's life. So that they have the wonderful opening opportunity to share the hope of the living Christ, you, within them with their man and woman of peace. And Jesus, we ask this in and through your matchless, wonderful, grace-filled name. And we all said, Amen. The Lord bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.